This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 6:40 in the evening, and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. So our next story is going to be about unlicensed farmers and how this issue can be addressed. And this is coming as unlicensed Musangking farmers have claimed that they've been pressured into an unfair contract with a private state-linked company. And that is the Royal Pahang Durian Produce, or PKPP Sendirian Berhad. So from the farmer's side, this is the contract. The company buys their durian at a flat rate of 40 ringgit per kilo. And in return, the farmers pay the company rent of 6,000 ringgit per acre per year. Now, the farmers have been accused of occupying the land illegally by not having titles and licenses. On their part, they have said that they weren't granted the titles despite applying through proper channels. And that's how the levy kicks in. The land is leased to the companies, and farmers who pay the levy can then legally plant and grow durians. So the farmers now are describing the levy as exorbitant, and they see the contract as one-sided, and they've joined forces to form the Safe Musangking Alliance, or SAMKA, and they're prepared to take the company to court for fairer terms. They're also contesting the rate that the company is paying for durians, saying that the average market price is 45 ringgit, while the company has said no, the fruit has a fluctuating price that ranges between 28 to 35 ringgit per kilo. So on the other side of this equation, the Royal Pahang Durian Group, or RPDG, has denied these claims. In an interview with the Malay Mail, they said that these growers weren't victims of having their land plot applications rejected. Instead, they planted first and then tried to register after. They also added that if encroachment activities aren't managed, the entire local market could be affected by foreign-backed players who would be able to determine Musangking prices without checks and balances. And that's pretty much it on both sides of the argument. So you have one side basically saying it's not fair, the other side saying no, it is, and we are legalizing something that previously didn't really have a proper system or infrastructure. And I think that this is an important topic, particularly when we're looking at, again, one of the more profitable crops here in our country. So we're going to be talking about how common this practice is, and also what can be done to prevent similar situations from occurring again. And our guest is going to be Kor Yu Ling, independent political economist with Segi Enam Advisors. We're going to be speaking with Yu Ling right after this. But if you have any questions on the brouhaha brewing over Musangking, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:45. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we are talking now about a headline that's emerged about a dispute, really, between Musangking farmers claiming that they've been pressured into an unfair contract with a private state-linked company. Essentially, both sides have laid out their claims, and we are now going to be diving into it to try and get a clearer picture of the matter, and also to see whether this is common, not just with durians, but in general in the country. If you have any questions, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us is Kor Yu Ling, independent political economist with Segi Enam Advisors. Yu Ling, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Okay, great.
So we kind of went through all the different issues earlier, and there are quite a number of them on both sides. So let's maybe take a look at the practice first of farmers growing durians or growing crops on unlicensed land. How common is this practice, and who are these farmers selling to?
Yeah, it's a bit of under the radar topic. Although I guess if we look at the politics of it, it seems to be a prominent issue every time elections come in. You know, there's all these TOL, temporary operating license, things that go on, and, you know, both political sides seem to promise things, but over the years, farmers seem to have issues actually getting the license. And in this regard, I think for the Raum area, clearly the indicators are about 5,300 acres. But when I talk to some of the underground people, they reckon there's more durian farmers who may be in such an issue. And it's also happened in the past, things like for oil palm. So there seems to be a bit of a lag on this.
So There's also been this pushback, right, from the company in question, saying that essentially they're trying to ensure that the local market is not being encroached upon, I suppose. So can you maybe talk to us about how unlicensed growers affect the durian industry?
Well, in the sense of the farmers, I guess what they hope for is that, you know, they operate the area with, you know, the land license for agriculture or specific use. I mean, if you go for oil palm, you need an MPOB, palm oil board licensing. For durian, it's a bit different. In fact, I guess durians is seen as easier and less regulated. So there's a lot of interest in it. And of course, it's been featured as very profitable. So, you know, if you look at even our local headlines, there's been a bit of, you know, issues about some large-scale plans where, you know, Orang Asli land rights are in question. Rau is a bit different. I guess the concern there is a bit on the deforestation or just not having it planned very well.
So if we look at what's happening now, the farmers are saying that the terms set out by the Royal Pahang Durian Group are unfair. Again, just very quickly, this includes the group buying the durians from farmers at a flat rate of 40 ringgit per kilo, as well as paying a yearly rent of 6,000 ringgit per acre. And a term that's actually been thrown around is modern slavery. So if we look at these terms and we look at the situation as it stands, how do we assess whether what's happening is fair or otherwise?
Well, I mean, I did an exercise a little while back in July, of course, before we had, you know, more information about this. But, you know, based on public information, the profit margin looks very, very healthy for durian. At the outset, I was kind of conservative and said, look, maybe this will, you know, bring the margin down to 50% or something. But of course, with more information coming out, it does look a bit tougher for the farmers. And I guess it's been, you know, a real negative surprise for them. I guess they hope that they would get the, you know, the license themselves rather than a new entity coming in. So that's a key crux of it. And I guess in terms of terminology, modern slavery, it's a little bit tough, I think, maybe a bit off-key in this sense, because this usually refers to the farm, people who work on the farms, whether they're being paid unfairly, like do you pay a ringgit per durian, you know, for the Orang Asli to tie your durian? Is that enough for their income? So, you know, that's a bit more on that front, I guess. But definitely, I think unfair contract is something that they're talking out about a lot.
And in turn, the Royal Pahang Durian Group has said that one of its concerns is the influence of foreign players here on the local industry. If illegal growers are not addressed and dealt with appropriately, what kind of influence are we looking at? I mean, what are we really talking about in business terms?
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I mean, if I look back at the news headlines, I mean, we did have for the Johor area quite a substantial announcement a couple of years ago. You know, Lim Kang Hoo, who does a lot of deals with Chinese property developers, announced a durian project. That seems to center a bit on Johor area, but not necessarily. Maybe they have, you know, more nationwide ambitions. So I think that's one of the obvious ones. In terms of, you know, foreign groups, because that would bring in partners from China to do the marketing of durian. And of course, we do have homegrown distributors as well who really innovated and captured the interest of the China market. There's about, you know, a handful of players there as well, but those are a bit more local. But I mean, with the Chinese certification and also sort of like, you know, export AP system, a food permit system, you know, well, not in those terms, but akin to that, that's happening, that came in under the PH government as well. So that has raised a lot of questions about quotas and volumes for exports.
And we're talking about durian today because it's in the news, also because I think it's just every time there is... durian itself, I think, has been something that increasingly is getting attention because of its cost, because of its profitability. But are concerns surrounding unlicensed farmers actually specific to the durian industry, or does it happen elsewhere?
There's been some smatterings of it. You know, some of it arises for odd reasons because, you know, we hear stories about, say, for oil palm, right? It's like the native people are worried about losing the rights to their land. So they start doing something to block others from, you know, trying to grab their land, as it were. So there's some talk about lag on that. And of course, oil palm is the key activity, so we're not surprised that there's some of that. But I mean, broadly speaking, if we look at Malaysia in general, we're a lot more licensed than, you know, neighbouring countries, say, for instance. So, you know, quite more orderly in that sense.
And when disputes have come up, I suppose, how have they been settled in the past?
Well, I think it's been a bit of a tussle. It's been of a headline tussle, you know, land rights. You know, there have been, you know, Orang Asli blockades, questions about who's on whose side. So it's very tough, actually. I think it's very much case by case, in a sense. And I think maybe there's some regional differences. You know, arguably because maybe Pahang is still the frontier of expansion, whereas, you know, Johor is a lot, you know, it is a much more older developed area. Sarawak has its own issues as well. So it's quite varied.
Now, when it comes to mediation, we are hearing the farmers, or rather the group they've organised themselves into, saying that they plan to take this to court. Can and should the government play a part in mediation to ensure that there is fairness in the situation?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I mean, I look at durians out of interest. I like it, and I think it's a great topic. And obviously, it's attracted so much attention, maybe a bit undue now from the farmer's viewpoint. But, you know, if I look at other commodities, there's a lot of questions arising from it about fair price and what's the marketing arrangement. I look at bulk commodities a lot. And on the sugar front, there was a couple of years ago, a case on the sugar farmers in Australia, actually. Oddly enough, Singapore and Thai processors bought a lot of the processing assets in Australia, in Queensland. And the Australian farmers actually objected to how they plan to control all the marketing for their product. So I'm not sure whether it ended in court, but I think it seems to have gone to the parliament. So the Queensland state parliament has gone to Australian National Parliament. So I'm wondering whether it's akin to cases here where you need a bit more open and transparency and public policy to look at it.
And on that note, I suppose, what kind of transparency and public policy would we need in order to ensure this level of accountability in the future so that we have fewer instances like this?
Well, you know, if you look at these places, they have select committees, which are in the parliament at the state and the national level. I think they're quite well funded for research to investigate the thing. They can call in expert witnesses and things and get reports from both sides on the issue. So, I mean, I don't know whether it's a question of going to that level. I mean, clearly, then I suppose the issue could arise for other commodities and items as well. You know, a lot of pricing mechanisms have not been changed for decades. And the question is, what is fair? I mean, if you look overseas, things are obviously not fair as well. There's one case of, did you know that if you drink a cup of coffee in London or something, how much price goes to the coffee farmers? It's quite astonishing. It's 0.4% of that goes to the coffee farmer.
Right.
So I think for oil palm and durian, the farmer gets a huge lot more. But of course, I mean, we do prefer to have, you know, fairness in the system and these questions debated more openly would be great, because whether it's a local or international issue, I think, you know, the age that we're in, I think the questions of fairness becomes very prominent now.
Yuling, lastly, right, you mentioned earlier this phrase about Pahang, this idea that, you know, maybe it's sort of a frontier of expansion. And I think we also touched on the ever-growing popularity of durian. You know, is this something that is going to continue to be of concern, I suppose? And what other issues might crop up as durian continues to be profitable, continues to be desirable, especially abroad?
Well, I think there's so much interest that I think there is a consideration that the expansion that's going on, it's a bit uncertain. The data is not that clear on it. But, you know, whether a lot of these durian plantings will not be as efficient as they would be. So question of, you know, areas which are grown and then not very fruitful, right, in terms of yield, because there's kind of deficient expertise to expand in such a large scale that's being considered right now. And also whether there could be a potential oversupply. I mean, if I talk to people in oil palm in Johor, they say a lot of smallholders want to shift from palm oil because palm oil is having this compliance cost. They have to get MSPO licensing, all these things which cost money. Whereas if they go to durian, it's perceived as being less regulated. And then they could do that. And in fact, so people think durian prices are going to be very advantageous for consumers going forward. Of course, we have this negative in Pahang right now, but whether they can see through it, then supply could come up quite smartly.
Yuling, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Khor Yuling, independent political economist with Sergi Anam Advisors, talking about the issue of unlicensed farmers or durian growing on unlicensed land. And, you know, what can happen as a result of that? We are seeing farmers paying a levy, kind of contesting the fairness of that levy. So we had a conversation there about fairness and accountability. We've also been asking you for your thoughts. And I would say, broadly speaking, the messages that we've gotten really kind of say that, you know, it's not okay to do unlicensed things. I'm simplifying it, but that's kind of it. So Daniel says, I side with the government, whether it's BN or Pakatan Harapan in this case. If you plant on government land, you can't, because of your occupation of the land illegally, claim it's yours at the end. It's like someone planted on your land and you didn't know because you bought the land to keep it. And then 5 years down the road, you go there and you see, oh, Musang King planted by illegal occupiers. What do you do? And just in brief, similarly, Jamlos is saying the other option is to comply to the rules of law and bring the illegal trespassers of the state lands to court. So, yes, broadly speaking, I think people are in support of the group as opposed to the farmers. Let us know what you think. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.